So Jess and I are going to tag team tonight, and we're going to just share three simple little things before we send you out to inspire you with workshops and with food tasting and with fellowship and all the fun stuff that goes with GNO. But we're going to do three little parts: Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And so Jess is one of my three daughters, whom I adore, all of them. They bless me with 11 grandchildren. Not you personally. You blessed me with three.
Yeah, I only gave her three.
Yeah, only three. She only did three. She's not done yet. Maybe there's more.
Yeah, I only gave her three. And but I did give you the only girl.
The only girl. 10 boys, one girl.
Yeah. No pressure, Stacy.
So Stacy, our eyes are on you, sweetheart.
You can do it.
And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to sit in these little chairs and we're going to start Christmas past. And go ahead and have a seat, babe. You can take this. You know, the reason that I do Girls Night Out Christmas, and I've been doing this for, gosh, too long to tell, years, decades. I mean, how many Christmas messages can you preach that you haven't heard before? But I know that God has called us as women, His women, that we are the social piece of the team. That if it was left up to your husbands to throw a party, guess what? You're not going to have one. And if it's left up to your husband to get that special gift and cook that delicious meal and to decorate the house, well, good luck. You'll get a pizza. But God has so fashioned us and so made us as His women. We're the God peace, the feminine peace of God. God is not a man that He should lie. He's not male or female. So guess what, darlings? You are the feminine side of God. And so this side reflects who He is, and He loves to celebrate. He loves a party. He actually said, "I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly." What a thought. He's not up there with a big stick mad at us just waiting for us to screw up, because guess what? You are going to screw up. But He's not mad at you. If anything, He wants us to learn how to do life like He does life, which is beautifully. And He's made you beautiful on purpose to bring the fragrance and the beauty and the goodness of God to our world, to our planet, and to the humanity that is all around us that doesn't have a clue about who God really is. And so the reason that we do Christmas at the Rock is because we know that you're it. That if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And the world is going to do everything they can to pull Christmas out of you. The world is going to cause you to worry about gifts, because this is not about gifts. It's going to cause you to just be so busy and stressed and hurried and harried that you lose the joy of the season. So tonight we want you to settle down. Take a breath. So everybody just take a breath. Ah, beautiful. You're here. And we're going to go back into Christmas past, and we're going to find out just why we celebrate. You know, Jess, I think that one of the most important things as women, and as women that are Christian women, is that we treasure the traditions and the celebrations that God has ordained on the earth, because life is hard.
Yes.
And there's lots of reasons not to celebrate.
Lots.
And when you celebrate Christmas, and we know that He probably wasn't born on the 25th of December, but who cares? That's the date that somebody picked, and we all said, okay. So it works for me. But when we celebrate, and when we make the effort to stop and to step back from life and say, no matter what's going on, no matter how bad the marriage is, how much you want to put the kids in the deep freeze, how broke you are, we're going to step back and we're going to celebrate, because celebration is a form of reverence and honor. And we're going to honor the King. And my darlings, this is all about for love of the King. And when Jess was growing up, and Luke and Miranda and Kim, and we had Christmas at our house, we always read the Christmas story. So I'd like to read a little story to you. I've read it to you before. Some of you will remember it. Some of you, we've never heard this before. So is it okay? Can you get cozy? I can't see you because I've got my new glasses on and they're, you know, I can only see up close, so you're all blurry. But are you okay? So get cozy, snuggle in, and Nana's going to read you a story. But one of the most wonderful things about being a woman is that God chose woman to pioneer salvation. You know, our mother Eve, she pioneered sin. You know, what was that about? She said, here, honey, have a piece of fruit and die. Okay. We can't get away from that. She did it. But God said to the serpent, Satan, he said, there's one coming from the seed of the woman, and you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head, destroy your government. And it will be from the seed of a woman. So even though womanhood started this, womanhood was allowed to end this. And girls, there's something very special about being a woman. And I want to read this little story, this little meditation. It's actually called Intimate Moments with the Savior. And it's a meditation on that night in Bethlehem when Mary was having Jesus. And I'll read the scripture to you, and then I'm going to read you the story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee of Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, and there was no room for them in the inn. Now that's read out of Luke chapter 2. So now let me read you the meditation. For the census, the royal family had to travel 85 miles. Joseph walks while Mary, 9 months pregnant, rides side saddle on a donkey, feeling every jolt, every rut, every rock in the road. By the time they arrive, the small hamlet of Bethlehem is swollen with an influx of travelers. The inn is packed, people feeling lucky if they were able to negotiate even a small space on the floor. Now it's late. Everyone's asleep, but there's no room. But fortunately, the innkeeper is not all shekels and mites. True, his stable is crowded with the guests' animals, but if they could squeeze out a little privacy there, they were welcome to it. Joseph looks over at Mary, whose attention is concentrating on fighting a contraction. "Well, take it," he tells the innkeeper without hesitation. The night is still when Joseph creaks open the stable door. As he does, a chorus of barn animals make discordant notes on the intrusion. The stench is pungent and humid, as there has not been enough hours in the day to tend the guests, let alone the livestock. A small oil lamp lent them by the innkeeper flickers to dance shadows on the walls, a disquieting place for a woman in the throes of childbirth. Far from home, far from family, far from what she had expected for her firstborn. But Mary makes no complaint. It's a relief just to finally get off that donkey. She leans back against the wall, her feet swollen, back aching, contractions growing stronger and closer together. Joseph's eyes dart around the stable. Not a minute to lose quickly. A feeding trough would have to make do for a crib. Hay would serve as a mattress. Blankets? Blankets. Ah, his robe. That would do. And those rags hung out to dry, that would help. A gripping contraction doubles Mary over and sends him racing for a bucket of water. The birth would not be easy, either for the mother or the child, for every royal privilege for this son ended at conception. A scream from Mary knifes through the calm of that silent night. Joseph returns, breathless, water sloshing from the wooden bucket. The top of the baby's head has already pushed its way into the world. Sweat pours from Mary's contorted face as Joseph, the most unlikely midwife in all of Judea, rushes to her side. The involuntary contractions are not enough. And Mary has to push with all her strength, almost as if God were refusing to come into the world without her help. Joseph places a garment beneath her, and with a final push and a long sigh, her labor is over. The Messiah has arrived. Elongated head from the constricting journey through the birth canal. Light skin, as the pigment would take days or even weeks to surface. Mucus in his ears and nostrils, wet and slippery from the amniotic fluid. The son of the Most High God, umbilically tied to a lowly Jewish girl. The baby chokes and coughs. Joseph instinctively turns him over and clears his throat. Then he cries. Mary bares her breast and reaches for the shivering baby. She lays him on her chest, and his helpless cries subside. His tiny head bobs around on the unfamiliar terrain. This will be the first thing the infant king learns. Mary can feel his racing heartbeat as he gropes to nurse. Deity, nursing from a young maiden's breast? Could anything be more puzzling or more profound? Joseph sits exhausted, silent, full of wonder. The baby finishes and sighs. The divine word reduced to a few unintelligible sounds. Then, for the first time, his eyes fix on his mother's. Deity straining to focus. The light of the world squinting. Tears pool in her eyes. She touches his tiny hand, and hands that once sculpted mountain ranges cling to her fingers. She looks up at Joseph, and through a watery veil, their souls touch. He crowds closer, cheek to cheek with his betrothed. Together they stare in awe at the baby Jesus, whose eyelids are heavy and they begin to close. It has been a long journey. The king is tired. And so, with barely a ripple of notice, God stepped into the warm lake of humanity, without protocol, without pretension. Where you would have expected angels, there were only flies. Where you would have expected heads of state, there were only donkeys, a few haltered cows, a nervous ball of sheep, a tethered camel, and a furtive scurry of curious barn mice. Except for Joseph, there was no one to share Mary's pain or her joy. Yes, there were angels announcing the Savior's arrival, but only to a band of blue-collar shepherds on the night watch. And yes, a magnificent star shone in the sky to mark his birthplace. But only three foreigners bothered to look up and follow it. Thus, in the little town of Bethlehem, that one silent night, the royal birth of God's Son tiptoed quietly by as the world slept. You know, girls, God could have been born anywhere. His first breath was in a stable, and his last breath was on a cross. You know, everything says something. So when Christmas passed, what is the one point that I want you to remember? I could give you 10, but let me just give you one. Never stop stepping back at this season of time and wonder and awe that the one who made us became a fetus, a baby, wore diapers, came through the birth canal, so identified with you and me that he became a man, all God and all man, so that you, my darlings, could be daughters of God. He came here so you could go home. Let's never, ever lose the wonder of the incarnation of Christmas. Which now brings us to Christmas present. Now, the reality.
You know, we could stay stuck back into the story of beyond the wonder of our King. But the reality of it is we live here now, today, in a world full of crazies, is what I call it. I'm a mom of three little kids. They have rehearsals and practices, and they have school, and they have homework, and then we have a church with lots of people that need help. And there's always something to do at all times of the day. Every second of my day, and I know for you as women, is full. And as Christmas comes, it gets fuller. How many times have you thought, oh, God, not another party? Oh, man, another present. I forgot that nephew. Or how about, I do not want to cook another meal for another family member who doesn't care. There are so many things that we can go to the negative with. There are so many ways that we can lose what Christmas is really about because we get caught up in the marketing of it all. And we get caught up in going to Target and Black Friday. Oh my gosh, I got to get up. Now it's earlier. It's like 9 o'clock the sales are starting. And it's so taken away, I think, Thanksgiving. And all those things that we used to celebrate as Christians, the world would like to consume with things that keep us busy. So if you would direct your attention to the screens, we have something special for you.
It's the Christmas season. It's that time of year when you unbury all the decorations from the attic and the garage. You put up the Christmas tree. You find that missing stocking with the reindeer on it. You clean out the gutters so that you can string up the lights before it snows or you're the last dark house on the block. The kids have road games, early practices, that huge history project, and final tests to study for, along with 5 different Christmas parties and your son's extra holiday hours at his part-time job. When can you start driving again? Don't forget to write down the dates and times for the performances and the rehearsals of the programs at church, at school, and at the senior center where they want you to come dressed up as an elf. In tights. Then there's the shopping. Your son wants a new gaming system that can read his mind. Your daughter wants a doll that you're going to have to make payments on. Your sister's emailed you 3 times asking what you want for Christmas and why you haven't just gotten an Amazon wish list set up already. Your spouse thinks maybe the two of you should just get each other a new furnace for Christmas or maybe just donate all the gift money to orphans in Cambodia. And then there's the Secret Santa thing at work. What's a white elephant gift again anyway? The school sent home a note saying half the kids have strep. Your spouse came home with a box of double extra strength cough medicine and a case of Kleenex boxes. You're pretty sure there was something wrong with that last piece of fruitcake you just ate. And your daughter's so stuffy she looks and sounds just like Rudolph. Christmas is at your parents' house this year. And at your spouse's brother's place down south. And at your aunt's place on the lake. If the weather's nice and your kids sleep in the car, you might just make it to all 3. And you should make sure that you stop in at the office party for at least a little while. Also, your friends are in town, so could you set aside a night of the week to do a special Christmas just with them? Oh, and can we do it at your house? Your boss needs you to make sure you get that project done before Christmas, even though he's going to be out of town until January, and you have to cover for your coworker who spends every Christmas in Hawaii. Also, none of your contractors will answer the phone after December 15th. Plus, you need to make that green bean dish you're so good at for Christmas dinner, and that peppermint dessert all the kids love for the other Christmas dinner, and something gluten-free for Uncle Dale, and a backup ham just in case your mom's stove blanks out again. Also, there's cookies and carols at the church on Saturday afternoon. Everybody bring 2 dozen. Oh, and don't forget, Jesus is the reason for the season. Merry Christmas.
Well, how easily we forget that he is the reason for the season. Can I get some lights on the audience? I want to be able to see them. Can you guys see your Bibles? You know, it was interesting because I was actually praying about Christmas. As much as my mom loves Christmas, she has put that into each and every one of us children. So we cherish Christmas. It is something that's always been humongous in our house. I mean, there is not a room that is not decorated. There was never a meal that was not laid out beautifully with a beautiful centerpiece and dishes. Not paper plates. Dishes. And everything had its place, and it was always something my mom taught me to celebrate. And it's so easy for us to forget to celebrate in all of the commotion. You're forgetting why we do what we do for our families. You know, it was interesting. My husband and I were really having a dilemma. Last year, all the Christmas lights on my tree went out. And Dan said to me, well, we'll just get another one next year. Okay, you know, I always like to shop. Cool. Let's get a new one. And as it came to that time, I'm reminding him slowly, hey, honey, we need to go get it. Why do we need a we're just going to fix the lights. Just wrap the tree in old lights. I'm like, then I need to cut out the other lights to put the new lights in because it'll look bad. And we are not having a ghetto Christmas in this house. So Dan and me start getting into a little tiff. Now, yes, Pastor Dan, I know you all think he's so great. But he does not like to decorate. He does not like to get anything down out of the garage. So we got into it. And he said, we are not getting a Christmas tree this year. And I'm looking at my kids for some support. Guys, Dad says we're not getting a tree this year. Chloe says, okay, can we still have candy in a gingerbread house, though? But my son, Micah, the middle child, I love the middle children. They're crazy, but they're the most emotional. And Micah says, Dad, we have to have a Christmas tree. And I loved it. So Dan was motivated, and we got one of those little clicker guns that fix all the lights on the tree. It is an awesome thing. $10, go get it. It'll fix your tree. It did take all day. We went through 1,000 bulbs, and we replaced 97 bulbs. But the tree works. We did the garland. We had Christmas music on. Dan was happy. He did the whole front. I gave him the whole front. So you got to give him an assignment, girls. Okay, a little tip there. You get the outside, honey. Yay. So he did outside. I did the inside. And now every day, I went and bought one of those Scentsio candle thingies that melt. Anyways, they're being sold out there. Go buy one. And I turned it on. And every time my husband walks in the house, he's like, oh, are you cooking? This is so awesome. And he comes home from work and there's twinkle lights and there's an aroma. And I usually try and have music on before he gets home. And listen, you might be going, what the heck? I have a full-time job. I do not have time for this. I'm a single mom of three. And listen, I used to have a job too. And I just quit. And it is hard. But don't do it all. This was the first year I've been able to do it all. Do it a piece at a time. A little at a time goes a long way. And you are creating an atmosphere for the people that you love. And you are creating something in their hearts to celebrate. You're giving them a reason to stop in a moment and to celebrate and to make that day special. We don't have to have Christmas just on Christmas. Christmas is the best time of the year, in case you did not know. And so just put it in their hearts. Celebrate now. And when I was sitting on the front row and we were praying about Christmas, the Lord had spoke the scripture into my heart. And he said, Jess, I have come that day that you may have life. And I really feel like God was saying to me, if you look at this verse in John 10:10, I'm going to read it out of the Good News Translation. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. How many times has the marketing of this world taken Christmas, God, right out of Christmas? It's all about the best deal. It's all about Santa Claus. It's all about snowflakes and snowmen and all of that. And it's fun, but it's not the reason for the season. And we so get caught up, like the video said, in all those things that we have to do. And girls, you know you complain the whole way through it. Nobody's a Holy Ghost roller good enough to get yourself out of that complaining mode, because we are women and we get tired. Nobody seems to think we get tired, but we do. We get weary in our well-doing. And so don't allow yourself to get weary. When God spoke to me and he said, I have come that you may have life, it spoke to my heart. And I began to get ready for Thanksgiving, and I hosted one Thanksgiving at my house, and it was great. Then Mom got sick. Thanks a lot. On Thanksgiving for us. And I get a phone call at 10:30 in the morning, and Dad is like, you can come if you want, but I don't think you should. She's pretty sick. And
No faith at all.
And I'm looking at my husband going, well, who's cooking the meal? And Dan kind of looked at me like, you know who's cooking the meal. You're the only one showing up. So I cooked that meal. And I'm telling you, I was burned out on turkey if I never see a turkey again. But let me tell you something. It was special to me that we created something for my family to come to. Even though Mom was sick, they did end up coming. And we just believed God that we wouldn't get sick, and we didn't. And when we had Dan's family, it was a special day. And we got to have his grandma with us, and that was just so special to us and special to my husband. And girls, let me plug this in here. It's easy for us as women to cling to our families. It's just something us women do. We're comfortable in our homes. And men, for some reason, they don't go out of their way to make a phone call. Do you notice that? I'm always like, did you call that person? Oh, I forgot. You know? But we know what we're doing. But you need to make room and make time for your husband's family. Okay? And I know all the mother-in-laws in here are going, amen, you can preach it, because I don't get to see my husband. I don't get to see my baby anymore. I love what Pastor Sue said during Girlfriends. She said, the children deserve to know both sides of the family, not just your side. Okay? So,
amen.
So listen, this year I am giving you a mandate. Reach out when you haven't reached out before. Maybe to the in-laws, maybe to your side of the family. Maybe you have that brother or sister that drives you nuts. And every time you see them, I'm going to knock you out. Don't knock them out this year. All right? We're not knocking anyone out. We are going to love on people this year. God has given us a mandate to make our homes heaven so that he can come and he can rest. Pray over your house before they come in. Anoint the doors with oil. Like, do what you got to do. But invite them over. Make a place for them and celebrate. Because if you don't do it, nobody else is going to. And I have had to learn that. If I don't do it, no one else will. And I'm okay with that. So be okay with that. Cast your care. Those burdens are going to come jumping on you. Oh, well, here comes my mother-in-law. She always says da-da-da. Here comes my sister, and she has so much drama. And here comes this person. They're going to be coming up. All I need to do is cook this turkey. I don't need anyone in my space. Nobody touch my stuff. Listen, keep it simple, okay? Don't be so neurotic people don't want to be around you. Because we as women could do that. Everything has a place. We know what we're doing. Da-da-da-da. I get it. But don't do it at the expense of someone that could be loved to the kingdom, that wants to celebrate Jesus' birth, and you are the one to speak that into their world and to show God's love to them this year. So guess what? You're it. And so celebrate the now. Celebrate who you are. Celebrate what God has for you. And a little tip. If you're going to someone else's house, help them clean up, please. Good. I know these are practical, but these are things that maybe you don't even notice you don't do. Offer to pick up toys. If your kids are crazy and they just ransack somebody else's house, mama, you need to stop talking and go clean up your kids' mess. Okay? And let me tell you why. Because you may be going to an unsaved person's house. And if you walk in ready and prepared, I'm going to help, I'm going to love on them, I'm going to be a blessing to the people that I'm going to, they're going to want you back. And they're going to be like, man, their kids can come over whenever, and then you got a babysitter, hello? I mean, seriously, there's like, we're girls, we know what we're doing around here, right? So you got a babysitter, but not just that. They want to know you. They kind of want to have a conversation with you then all of a sudden. And all of a sudden there's been a door opened and you can witness to them and you can share with them that you love God and that God loves them and that your family is blessed because you serve God. And so, do you see what I'm saying? Show the love of God. Don't be that annoying person that comes over that everybody's dreading. Oh, great. Here they come with all their kids. Now I'm going to lock in love with them. I hope my mom doesn't feel that way. In Matthew 7:12 in the Amplified, it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. So whatever you would want someone to do for you, do it for someone else. And die to yourself, ladies. We already are mothers, daughters, grandmas, sisters. It's already in us to nurture and take care of people. But do it with the love of God this year. Celebrate the now. Don't be a bah humbug this year. Pull your tree out. It's still not too late. Go buy a couple cheap ornaments from the dollar store and make it pretty. And you can learn how to do things on a dime right out here on the left side. They've got it all for cheap, cheap, cheap. So listen, you need to set an atmosphere. You need to be the one that God can trust with the people that he's placed in your life to love. Okay? So that is the present, and that's what we are called to do.
Good.
Anything
so
else
good.
That you want to say?
Just stay up there with me, okay? We're going to wind this up. She's good, isn't she? You know, I don't know if we have that in the Message Bible, but would you mind if I saw we did, which is...
I have it in Message, what verse?
It would be Matthew chapter
7. 7:12, yeah, they should have it.
Do you have it, guys, up there in the video department?
Here
do you
is.
Have that? On
the
screen?
The Message.
Okay.
Oh,
don't you don't have it in the Message?
No, my...
Okay, they don't have it in the Message. That's all right. I like the Message Bible because it says, so, grab the initiative. Whatever you want somebody to do for you, grab the initiative and do it for them first. And I like that. Just grab the initiative. So when you are hosting or when you are going to somebody else's place, this is your moment as a daughter to shine. And whatever you would want them to do to you, take the initiative and do it to them. If you don't like being with people, and some of you just don't. None of our husbands do.
Mom, not everybody's like Dad.
No, not everybody's like Dad and Dad. Okay, well, maybe there's some social pieces in here.
I have a friend. Her husband loves being with everybody.
Okay, well, there may be. Fred's the life of the party. I've watched him dance. But, and you don't know what to say to people. Have you ever had that awkward moment of silence? Anybody ever feel uncomfortable about that? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. All you have to do is just start asking them questions about them. You know why? Because really nobody listens to anybody. And people don't really care. I remember my mother-in-law told me, don't think people are looking at you. They think you're looking at them. Basically, humanity is pretty selfish. But you know what? I think inside of everybody, there's a need and a longing to want to be liked and to have somebody listen. And so here you are, just filled with the love of God, just a little holy beamer, just bouncing around for Christmas. And there you are at somebody's place or your neighbor's, or maybe at your in-laws, or maybe somewhere, and there's that awkward moment, and you don't know what to do. Just say, Holy Spirit, you know their lives, and just start asking them simple little questions. I mean, you don't have to get into the dirt, you know. Don't ask them, you know, the bad stuff. So, I heard you're getting a divorce. Don't do that.
Stay away from
those subjects. But like, what was the best part of your day today? Or do you have kids? How old are they? You know, just start with a conversation. And not because you're just trying to kill time. But you know, when you really care and you really want to hear what they have to say, that's going to translate to them. And they're going to look at you and they're going to want what you have. And the bottom line, girls, is that we want our girlfriends and we want our families to say, I want what she's having. I want her life. There's something about her that I want. Her family's intact. She has a smile on her face, even though I know her husband's just lost his job. I know they don't have any money in it. Look at how happy they are. You see, as Christians, Christmas is not about money. It's about stepping back, being in awe of what God has done for us, and letting that reverence and awe translate to amazing joy and goodness, and just spilling out all over everybody else. So Christmas past, step back, and never lose your awe of the incarnation. Never lose your awe that God wore diapers, that he had amniotic fluid on him, and that he had to learn to focus to see. That blows me away. Never lose the fact that you are a light that shines in the darkness and that God's called you to be a holy beamer, Christmas present. And the last one, Christmas future, what is that? That's really about leaving a legacy. It's really about what you're doing today may not seem very important, but you're building for tomorrow. I didn't know when I was a new mom and doing diapers and we had no money. I mean, Jim had lost his job when we got married, so we didn't have any money. We were broke. And here I've got a brand new baby and Miranda was 9 years old and we didn't have anything. And yet I knew that this was my opportunity as a Christian to make this a very special time. And so Christmas began as something special in our house. And I had no idea that one day I'd be standing here on a platform with my daughter and she'd be preaching the gospel and she'd be sharing with you about Christmas. You see, inheritance is what you receive, but legacy is what you leave. Mm-hmm. And we're going to leave a legacy. We're going to leave a legacy. What are we going to leave behind us for the next generation? And I think the one that, when I think about this, the one that amazes me the most is that little virgin, that little teenage girl that said yes to Jesus, Mary. God's called us to leave a legacy of love. Like Mary, you're not going to know what you're doing today. You're not going to know the impact that it's going to have tomorrow. But one of the things that Mary, that I think about, and Jess, you can come up here and join me and just gather in, because we're just having a chat tonight. You know, it's a tough world, and there's a lot of things in this world that can make us not want to believe God and make us want to quit. And why should I care about my family when they don't care about me? Why should I treat that man with respect when he doesn't respect me? And why should I? There's a lot of why should I's, I'm sure, sitting in this audience tonight listening to me. Why should we? Because God told us to. That's why. Because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. If you're born of the Spirit of God, then you belong to God and you are now a daughter of God. And just like the Word of God came to Mary, the Word of God wants to come to you and to me, into my life, into this generation, into this culture. Just because things don't look good, listen, Mary was a virgin, she was betrothed to Joseph, she was probably a teenager, and the angel comes to her and says, you're going to have a baby, and she says to him, how can this be, since I don't know a man, I've never had sex. Now, the angel didn't rebuke her for unbelief. He said, Mary, this is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. As a matter of fact, put that up on the overhead. You got the scripture on it for me? Luke chapter 1. Media department, there we go. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Next verse, quickly. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Continue. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? That's all you have, huh? Well, let me read what the angel said to her. Is it up? No. Luke chapter 1. You may have to read this for me because I don't have my reading glasses. So the angel's giving her the instruction. What do you think was going through her mind? She's engaged. What's Joseph going to think? The Jewish law said that if you were pregnant, adultery or fornication, that was grounds for stoning. What do you think was going through Mary's mind at the time? She said, how can this be, since I don't know a man? And in verse 35, the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month, for her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. What is she showing us about leaving legacy? Girls, Mary believed for what had never been done. What in your life this Christmas has never been done? What is it in your family? What is it in your life? What is it where you're at your age, in your season of life, that has never been done in your life? Why not believe God this Christmas for that?
Come on.
Why not step in to Mary's place and say, Lord, how can this be? But the angel said to Mary, Mary, with God, all things are possible. So, if I could learn a couple of things from Mary tonight as we close this with legacy. Number one, I'm going to have to learn how to believe God for what's never been done in my own life and my family. Marriage falling apart. Single moms need a husband. Older ladies lonely and there's no family left for you. Then believe God for what's never been done yet in your life and watch God work a miracle. Because just as the word came to Mary, the word wants to come to you. And come to me. Not only did Mary believe God for what had never been done, but God showed Mary that she is not alone in this faith venture of legacy.
The angel said, Mary, listen, your cousin Elizabeth, who's an old woman and has been barren, she is now in her sixth month. There's a confirming witness, Mary. I've already arranged for you to have friends and for you to have faith partners and for you to have a company of women that will believe with you, and you will not be alone in this faith adventure because I have already arranged for you to have a family of women that believe with you and will hold your hand and stand with you, be your back, be your sides, and not let go of you. And God gave Mary the confirming witness. And when Mary ran to Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth's babe leaped in her womb, John the Baptist. And she said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? And don't you know that had to comfort Mary's heart, because there was the confirming witness of the word that God had given her. Women of God, we need each other. We are women together in this. We're not in competition. We don't need to judge each other. We need to realize that your best friend is sitting right next to you. And you're going to find them right here in this church or where your local church where you're from. Believe God for what's never been done. Understand that you're not in this alone in legacy. And the last one, realize that you're going to have to say yes to God. She said, be it unto me according to your will. She didn't see the death sentence in what God had asked her to do. The stoning, the reputation, Joseph, all she saw was the opportunity for life. And faith rose in her heart, and she said, be it unto me according to your will. Girls, this Christmas could be the best Christmas you've ever had. This could be your miracle Christmas. This could be the Christmas that you're going to look back on in your life, and something stopped and something changed, and God did something supernatural, and what was is no longer, and you're leaving a legacy of godliness and love, and everything is going to change, but it's up to you. It's up to you. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to stand back and just lick our wounds? We're in recession. We're broke. We're in a poor city. Are we going to stand up as women of God and let the word of God come to us? Let the word of God develop in us, and then let the word go through us and leave a legacy of miracles and the supernatural wherever we go. It's up to us. It's up to us. So where are you at tonight? Christmas passed.
If you're going to leave a legacy, you can't hold on to bitterness. You can't hold on to the unforgiveness. You can't hold on to that problem and still allow it to be above God in your life. If you're going to believe for the impossible, you need to cast your care on the Lord tonight. And so I want to give them an opportunity. And you know, I was in my studying in the Amplified, it says, cast in Psalms 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. And he will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made, slip, fall, or fail. Listen, you need God as much as he needs you. But we cannot be the women and leave the legacy as she's been talking and believe for the impossible like Mary did. If you're holding on to something that you're not in faith about, if you're frustrated and bitter and angry and you're just one of those women that are hard to be around, tonight, break it. Tonight, choose to love God and to love your family and to enjoy and celebrate Christmas and to leave that legacy of love. And so I want to do something, Mom. Why don't you come on up here? You know what bothers you in your heart. You know those things that kind of irk you and move you and stop you from going to where Mary went with the impossible. Because when you're stuck in a moment and you're stuck in a feeling, because we women, we go off feeling, but it's not reality. It's just a perception of what's not real. Because faith is what is real. The impossible is what can be had if you have it and believe in God. I want you to think about what it is that you've been holding on to. What hurts your heart? What is hard for you to get past and enjoy Christmas and enjoy your family and enjoy those things that God wants for you? Because remember the verse that said the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come that you can have life and life more abundantly. So you cannot go usher in the love of God if you're bitter, angry, and in unforgiveness. You can't leave a legacy of love and if you're a hurt, broken, and dying person inside. But listen, one touch from God and you could be healed, restored, reconciled. Those things the enemy has stolen from you, you do not have to allow in your life. So this is what we're going to do. The Bible says to cast our care upon Him, for He cares. And I want you to stand up with me. And I want you to think about what it is that's been stopping you from leaving a legacy and believing for the impossible this Christmas season. And I want you to hold it up to God. And Mom, would you pray, and we'll repeat after you, and we're going to release it to the Lord.
Okay, now a lot of times you think, oh, I've given that thing to God. I can't keep doing this. Well, let it be your last time tonight. Don't let condemnation come and stop you. He's not mad at us.
No more.
You can't do one single thing on your own. Do you know that? I can't. I can't even will to do anything. Without the Holy Spirit, I'm lost. But if I'm in Christ, I have the Holy Spirit. So this isn't about my determination. This is about my surrender to give it to the Holy Spirit and let Him take it. So if you need to do this fresh, just lift up your hand. Put it in your palm, whatever it is. Put it in your hand. Make a fist. Just take it to the Lord. Now, Father, we lift this up to You in Jesus' name. Father, unforgiveness, bitterness. Many of us have just been stuck in a harbor, Lord, like a boat docked of bitterness. And we think about it all the time. We're stuck in our thoughts. We're stuck in a rut. We don't want to be that way, but we just keep going back to that same place. Lord, it's in our hands tonight. Lord, that hurt, that injustice. Lord, in our hands are our unbelief and doubt. When, Lord, You didn't come through. You didn't seem to come through, and I was confused, and I didn't know what to do. And where were You, God? That's in my hand tonight, Lord. Lord, sickness is in my hand tonight. I'm sick, and You haven't yet healed my body. And, oh, Lord, I'm hurting tonight. Oh, Lord, loneliness is in my hand tonight. Lord, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. Hopelessness. Lord, poverty is in my hand tonight. I never have had enough, and I can't see my way out. Lord, that's in my hands tonight. Oh, Lord, uselessness is in my hands tonight. Lord, sometimes I feel so useless and unimportant. Do You have a plan for my life? All these things, You add to it, girls. Now, Father, You said that we could cast every care on You, for You care for us. So I want you to repeat this with me now, girls. I want you to say, Father,
Father,
in my hand is this care. It no longer belongs to me.
It no longer belongs to me.
I release it now.
I release it now.
Open your hand. I toss it to You.
I toss it to You.
I release it from my life.
I release it from my life.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Take these cares.
Take these cares.
Give them to the Father.
Give them to the Father.
He knows how to deal with them.
He knows how to deal with them.
Much better than me.
Much better than me.
I don't want them back.
I don't want them back.
I don't want to see them.
I don't want to see them.
And I don't want to think about them.
And I don't want to think.
I release them now.
I release them now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I speak the blood of Jesus.
I speak the blood of Jesus.
Over my mind.
Over my mind.
Over my body.
Over my body.
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
Is gone in my life.
Is gone in my life.
I release unforgiveness.
I release unforgiveness.
I release the fear of poverty.
I release the fear of poverty.
I release fear of loneliness.
I release fear of loneliness.
I release uselessness.
I release uselessness.
I'm not stupid.
I have the mind of
Christ. I am the daughter of God.
I'm the daughter of God.
God says I will bear fruit.
God says I will bear fruit.
In every season of my life.
In every season of my life.
Therefore now, Father.
Therefore now, Father.
I ask. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
That this Christmas.
That this Christmas.
You would do what You've never done.
That You would do what You've never done.
In my life first.
In my life first.
And then through me.
And then through me.
Let me be a light that shines.
Let me be a light.
To all the people that You put in my life.
To all the people that You put in my life.
Let me be an open door of faith.
Let me be an open door of faith.
Let me bring forth,
let me bring forth
your will,
your plans,
and your purposes,
and your purposes
this Christmas.
This Christmas.
And may it be the best Christmas.
May it be the best Christmas.
The most miraculous Christmas,
the most miraculous Christmas
that I've ever seen,
that I've ever seen
in my earth years.
In my earth years.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We ask it in faith.
We ask it in faith.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.